to the book of Acts, chapter 18, and we'll study God's Word together. Book of Acts, chapter 18. And now we're ready, if your Bible's open there. Oh, I got another one. Thank you, all of you. Who cares? Do you have anything else? Nothing. I'm kidding. Acts chapter 18. She's going to hit me. Okay. Paul was a little bit afraid, and you'll recall in verse 9 of chapter 18, God spoke to him and said, "Don't be afraid, I am with you." God has spoken the same thing to you. Don't be afraid, I am with you. What you have to begin to grasp is He loves you and He wants to take care of you. Now, many of you think He doesn't like me because He knows my past. He doesn't like me because He knows what I was thinking 30 minutes ago. But you're wrong. He does love you. And He does know what you were thinking 30 minutes ago. And He loves you. And He says, "Paul, don't be afraid. Speak the glory of God. Don't hold your peace. Don't hold back. Go for it. I'm with you. I have many people in this city. They hadn't even been saved yet, and God said they're mine. I know down the road." I know He's telling that to us. Pray, don't be afraid. This is a big assignment to do something like this. Don't be afraid. I have many people in the city. They haven't come to Jesus yet. We'll go invite them, and some of them will come. I am convinced of it. The only thing is, maybe someone hasn't invited them yet. That's all. So that's what we want to do. Well, he continued there, verse 11 says, a year and a half. And what did he continue doing? Teaching the Word of God among them. Okay, so now we move on. Now that you've gotten yourself up to speed. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia. Gallio, from reading history, just simple history, not the Bible, but history. Gallio was the brother of Seneca. Some people say Seneca. You picked yours. Seneca was a philosopher. A great philosopher of Rome. As a matter of fact, he was the tutor, the official tutor of little Caesar Nero. If you remember Caesar, Mr. Nero. Gallio was Seneca's brother. They were adopted out at young ages to different families. But they knew they were brothers, and of course they communicated and loved one another. And since Seneca, a philosopher, was the tutor of Caesar Nero, well, it's kind of easy to see how Gallio got his job. True? If your brother kind of works right alongside the president and you got a cabinet assignment, most of us would think, well, you guys, you're brilliant and you're intelligent, and your brother is really close to the president. So there's Gallio. But history says that he was a fair man. Obviously not too wise, as you'll see, but fair. When he's deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord altogether against Paul. God said, don't be afraid. No man's going to set on you to hurt you. And down the road, after a while, probably about after a year and a half, the Jews rose up together against Paul, and what they did is they dragged him before the judgment seat of Gallio. And this is what they said. This fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law. What's the law? Well, in their opinion, the Jewish law. Not against the Roman law, against the law, the Jewish law. And Paul was about to open his mouth. When they charged him with a crime, Paul was now going to stand up in his own defense and speak. What do you think Paul might have said? You already know he's going to say something that's going to get him in deeper trouble. He's going to say, Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the Lord. They're going to start a fight. They may have to drag him out of there just to protect him. You know, Paul, he never knows when to stop. So he begins to open his mouth, but he never got a chance to say a word. Gallio said to the Jews, "If this were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, Jews, reason would that I should bear with you." I'd listen to this case if it had something to do with the law. If it had something to do with him breaking the law or doing this in public or that. But it is a question, if it be a question of words and names and your law, it's a religious thing, he says. You see to it. I'm not going to listen. I will be no judge of such matters. I'm not going to hear this case. Dismissed. Take care of it yourselves. It's too bad because he would have gotten an opportunity to hear the gospel. Because you know, you just know it. I mean, it's not written here, but you just know what Paul would have said given a chance, don't you? Whether it got him in deeper trouble, whether it got him sent to jail forever, whether it got him stoned to death, you already know what he's going to say. We should learn to be like men and women who don't have to think about what we're going to say. I already know what to tell someone. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He was nailed to the cross at Calvary. He shed his blood for the sins of the world. And he died. And they buried him. And 3 days later, he was alive again. He rose from the dead. And he is alive today. And he's coming back to judge the living and the dead. And you killed him. And you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But he's coming back. And right now you can have life by just simply coming to Jesus Christ. That's what Paul would tell them. That's what you and I will tell the world. That's the message. Well, he didn't get to speak. Gallio never got to hear the gospel there. Well, in the meantime, remember Crispus? Earlier on in the chapter, Crispus was converted. He was the chief ruler of the synagogue. Remember? And he came to Jesus Christ. And the synagogue was here. And where was the Christian church meeting? Right next door. Crispus moved out of being in the leadership of the synagogue and moved into being one of the body of Jesus Christ. One of the children of God. One of the family. Learning now how not to be in charge, but how to become the servant of everybody. Whole different lifestyle for Crispus. And you know, we're told here, and not in so many words, but you can see it, Sosthenes took over the synagogue. Crispus is born again, leaves the synagogue, and stays with Paul. Sosthenes now is the chief ruler in charge. And look what happens. He drove them, Gallio did, verse 16, out of the judgment seat, or away from the judgment seat. Out of the courtroom. Case dismissed. Not interested. Get it out of here. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, used to be Crispus, but remember he's now saved, took Sosthenes and they beat him before the judgment seat. Right there, right outside where Gallio could see. Case dismissed, you handle it. They go right outside the door and they take and they drag out Sosthenes and they beat him up right there. So he takes a beating. Nobody knows why. Looks like maybe the Greeks were just upset that the Jews were Jews. And they couldn't do Paul, so they wanted to do somebody. So the chief ruler of the synagogue takes a beating. And Gallio didn't care at all. Didn't care for these things. Well, it's their business. Crispus accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Savior. And moved on next door to be a part of the church, willing to take the bottom chair. If there was no chair, willing to sit the bottom seat on the floor. Sosthenes then moves into the chief ruler slot. Just because of the position he's in, he gets a beating. Somebody beats him up. What did it cause in his life? You know, his name is used one more time in the New Testament. Now, I know most of you already know it. His name is used one more time. When Paul sits down later on in years and writes to the Corinthian church, he says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, this letter is from Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Who's with Paul? Now, don't you wonder how he got there? I know how he got there. He took a beating. And that's what some of you are going through right now, aren't you? Somebody's beating you up. Sometimes it's financially, sometimes it's emotionally. You're taking a beating. What's it designed to do? Satan wants to stop you up, slow you down, drag you around, make you stay away. But God says, you trust me. You stick with me. God works all things together for good. Sosthenes gets beaten up. The next time he's mentioned, he's part of Paul's team. He's not even in Corinth anymore. They're writing a letter to Corinth to tell them, straighten up. Be strong. Hang on. Sosthenes got a beating. What happens when we get beaten up? Many times, it's the very thing that brings us to Jesus Christ, isn't it? Some of you have gotten so low. Your life has gotten so far down to the bottom that you came to Jesus Christ. You said, I give. I haven't got to know what else to do. I need some help. Jesus is the answer. Some of you as believers, walking this little fake walk, you're just wandering on, tiptoeing through life. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, you know, but I'll do this, I'll do that. And all of a sudden, boom, something knocks you down. And then your testimony becomes, you know, I was a Christian, but I wasn't living it for God. I was wasting my life. I was still going out, getting drunk. I was still going to church. I could make it when nothing else in the world was going on. No vacation, no picnics, nothing. And even the TV broke. And so then I could make it to church. That's how my life was, but not anymore. Why? Many times it's because you got a beating. Emotionally, physically, mentally, you just went through. And God then used it, if you allowed Him to bring you into a position where, just like the prodigal son, you and I said, I'm about to eat with pigs. I have nothing. I'm starving. I'm going to eat trash. And in my Father's house, even the servants eat better than this. Even the servants are doing better. I'm going to go home. And I'll tell my Father, I am not worthy anymore to be called your son or your daughter. I'm not worthy. I've thrown my life away with these wild parties and this garbage. I am not worthy to be called your son. But I know at your house, even the servants are doing okay. So treat me as a servant. I would be so much better off to be a servant with you than to be out there trying to make it on my own. Can I come home? Because he took a beating, didn't he? Sosthenes was beaten, and the next time we see him, he's part of an evangelistic team going around the whole world to tell people Jesus Christ is Lord. Only took a simple beating. So you need to take heart. Be encouraged. Though sometimes you think, I'm going through it. What is going on? Trust Him. Now is not the time to walk away. Now is not the time to fold and to give up when there seems to be pressure from all around. And Paul will tell you later on, we are pressed in on all sides, but we don't collapse. Weight is put on us, but we are not crushed to the ground. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit of God. Sosthenes was beaten. Gallio didn't care. After this, stayed there still a good while. And then he took his leave of the brethren and sailed from there to Syria. Paul left. And with him, Priscilla and Aquila. Paul worked with them because they were tent makers. And if I may use the language, I think he worked on them too. You hang out with Paul. So you hang out with people who just want to serve God. Pretty soon you catch yourself going, okay, yeah, I'll join it. I'll be part of that. I'll help. And you're in over your head going, how did I get in here? I'm not capable of this. Lord, save me. Because you're underwater. Priscilla and Aquila, now, they wander off with Paul. Now, how did that happen? You know what? We want to serve God and we can make tents anywhere. Okay, Paul, let's go. So he worked with them and he worked on them. And there they go. Down to Syria. Now Paul cut his hair in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. Don't know what that vow was. Many speculate a vow of a Nazarite. So he would have let his hair grow quite a while. And then when the vow was complete, he would then have cut his hair, shaved his head. Don't know, but that's what it sort of looks like here. Don't know what the vow was all about. Don't know really what the vow was. Some teach that he had made this vow before he hit that road to Damascus. And so when he came to the Lord, and now he was set free in Jesus Christ, some believe that he just had made that vow for a certain amount of years, and he kept it. Don't know. But he made some sort of vow, and now the vow was complete. And so he, in verse 19, the Bible says, chapter 18, verse 19, and he came to Ephesus, and he left them there. Who? Priscilla and Aquila. Aquila and Priscilla. That man and his wife, the tent makers. But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. So there was Paul's normal routine. Let me go tell God's people they can have life. Well, when they desired him to stay longer or tarry with them, he consented not. Something in his heart was driving him on. He needed to get down to Jerusalem, he felt. And so they said, please stay for a while. That's just not been usual for Paul. That may have made him a little bit nervous. Every place I go, they try to kill me and at least kick me out of town. You want me to stay? What's wrong with you? Is this a trick? It's a trap, isn't it? You know, the Ephesians wanted Paul to stay because I believe the Word of God was precious to them. Have you been around men and women who have been around the Lord for a long time? Men and women who have been around the Lord for 40 and 50 years. Have you been around? You ought to. Young people, you ought to find older men and women to hang out with. You think, oh, that's so boring. Because they can tell you so many things. What they saw God do, what God is doing, what God has done. It's thrilling. Can you imagine Paul showing up and just sitting and listening to him tell stories of what God has done? The city I was just in, yeah, they let me out of the basket, or out of over the wall, out of window, in a basket. Weird. What was that like? Well, it was kind of stuffy, and when I got out of there, I didn't know what to do, and so I headed on to Jerusalem, but you know, I was out killing Christians, so Peter and James and John and the boy, they wouldn't even have a thing to do with me. They were afraid of me. What did you do? Well, I finally ended up over there at Antioch, and then a little while later, Barnabas came and got me, and we started this kind of little ministry over. Can you imagine how interesting it must have been to sit and listen to him? And they said, please stay a little longer. We want to hear more. Because the Word of God is precious. But he said no. He bade them farewell, verse 21, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that is coming in Jerusalem. There's a feast coming up. And he said, I got to be there for it. I just have to. Sometimes you do that. It's the Lord, you just don't know. You say, I don't know. I just really need to do this. Why? I don't know. It's just something I really think I need to do. Well, I got to be down in Jerusalem. But I will return again. I'll come back by this way if God wills. James says that later on. Same sort of idea. You shouldn't say this is what I'm going to do. You should say this is what I plan to do if God wills. We'll move to such and such a city and buy and sell and get gain. Lord willing. And people have added, and the water doesn't come up too high. Creeks don't rise. But Scripture says, Lord willing. Lord willing. Michael Sewell will be here in June. and everything will go so powerfully, Lord willing, that others will come to Jesus Christ. God is in absolute control. That's how powerful He is. So Paul says, I really need to be in Jerusalem for the feast. But you know, when it's done, and those 7 days are accomplished, I'll come back by, Lord willing. That's always up to God. Now, I will come and visit, but if God says, now I want you to go over to down here, then that's what I'm going to do, Lord willing. That's the way we should all be. And he sailed, verse goes on to say, away from Ephesus. When he had landed in Caesarea and gone up, saluted the church, he went down to Antioch, which is where he had begun that missionary journey again. Remember way back then. And after he had spent some time there, it must have been a thrill for Paul to come back to his home church and imagine him going to dinner to people's house or having a special meeting and telling them all those things that went on. Paul, you ought to write a book. You ought to make a movie, man. All the things that have happened to you in these years. After he spent some time there, he left, went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. He went back and visited the churches. There's his third journey right there. And the churches that he had really pioneered. He just went back and visited them all to strengthen them, to encourage them, to see how they were doing. Well, while he's gone, a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria. Alexandria was an educated community. One of the libraries, just one of the libraries, had 750,000 of volumes of books in just one library. 750,000 volumes. Apollos, born in Alexandria, Jew, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. Here's a man who spoke very well in public. And he really knew the Bible. He was mighty in the Scriptures. Which hopefully you and I, someone will say that about us someday when we're 107 years old. They're mighty in the Scriptures. And he was really good at speaking in front of others, the Bible says. He was a Jew. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in the Spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. He was a really intelligent man, spoke well, and he would go and he would tell others about God. But all he knew was the baptism of John. Repent, for the Messiah is coming. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Turn from the way you're going. That's what God wants from you, he was teaching. And notice what the Bible says. It says he taught diligently, and he was fervent in spirit. That means he was excited about it. It meant something in his life, and he wanted others to comprehend. Well, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Notice who are at the synagogue. Aquila and his wife Priscilla are there. Question, what are these two doing in the synagogue? They're Christians. Paul taught them, I think. What would Paul do in a city? Go to the synagogue. Get a chance to share? Share Jesus Christ. Share what you know. I know what you're going to say. I don't know very much. Apollos didn't know Jesus had died and risen again. But he was there boldly proclaiming, you need to follow God. You need to turn and you need to go with God. We'll baptize you for repentance. The baptism of John the Baptist is what he's talking about. He didn't know, but what he knew, he was willing to get up and proclaim for the glory of God. Now you say, I don't know much. Tell people what you know. There's an example for us, Mr. Apollos. Share what you already know, just like Apollos. You just might be the one at your school who knows more than some of the others about Jesus. You just might be the one in your office, on your ball team, whatever you do. You just might be the one who knows and could share, and people go, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never heard that. You might be the one if you're willing to be fervent in heart and share in spirit and share what you know. Know the rest of the story. Notice? But we have a couple here who are thinking, well, you know, we have church on Sunday morning. We'll head over to the synagogue. We'll see some friends here in Ephesus. And let's just see what's going on. Maybe we'll get an opportunity to share. And that's what goes on. Priscilla and Aquila, when they heard him, they took him to them and expounded the way of God more perfectly. The language "took him to them" doesn't mean they interrupted the service and tried to do this whole thing right there. It looks like they sort of took him home. Hey, would you come with us? Notice how they handled Apollos. They didn't interrupt the service. They took him aside privately somewhere. Took him to them. This is a private thing. And what did they do? They expounded unto him the way of God more completely. You're right, Apollos. Now Jesus is the Messiah. He has come. He has died and risen again. And Apollos knew his words so well, he was thrilled. He was born again. Sometimes you think, I can't share. What do I know? You know Jesus Christ is alive. Not just because you read it, but also because look what he's done in your heart. Oh, you may not be very different, but you're different. You've changed. He's changed you and I. I don't know everything about Jesus, but he changed me. The blind man that was blind said it the best. I don't know. You think he's a prophet? I don't know. I don't really know the guy. This I do know. I once was blind and now I see. That I know. Jesus did it. Well, who is he? Well, I don't know. But I would think that a guy that did that was probably God. Very well put. So they just looked at him and said, you're an idiot. You're uneducated. Don't tell us. He was right. But he didn't know. But he was right. And he was preaching the gospel and he didn't even have a clue. Share what you know. And they began, or as he spoke, Priscilla and Aquila listened to him and then took him to themselves and expounded him the way of God more completely. And when he was disposed to pass to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. Listen to Apollos. But when he was come, he helped them which had believed through grace. Notice he was now helping believers to get a better grasp. He was now teaching. He was now speaking and helping them to grow. When just a while ago, he didn't even have the whole picture himself. And now, of course, Apollos is going to grow too. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and he did that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus was the Christ. Once Apollos saw it, the powerful speaker that he was, he went out continuing to speak, telling people, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He is the Messiah, King of kings and Lord of lords. It's Jesus we've been waiting for. It's Jesus who has come and now risen from the dead. He is the answer. And Apollos boldly did it. Jesus is the Christ, and that means he has come to set the captives free, to set people free from the bondage of their old nature, from the bondage of their old lives. Maybe you remember Jesus talking to this young lady caught in the very act of adultery. And when no one stoned her, because no one was sinless, they couldn't cast the first stone, and they had all left, except the crowd was there and Jesus, and she stood up, what did he say to her? He didn't give her a warning. He set her free, didn't he? A lot of people see it as a warning. Okay, woman, that's one. Is that what it says? The words say, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now you see that as a negative, right? Okay, don't you be bad. I was nice to you, now I'll get you. That's not what he just said. He said, I do not condemn you. You go, you're free from now on. You don't have to sin. You believe in me. You trust in me. You go and sin no more. Sure, it was an encouragement to stay away from sin, but what he was telling her was, you're free now. You had to sin before. Now you are free. You've been set free.
Apollos said, Jesus is the Christ. That's what the Christ will come to do. Set the captives free. He will loose all from bondage. Then you can say, death, where is thy sting? Death doesn't scare you anymore. Death is not going to hold you in its grip anymore. You belong to Jesus. You're free. Go and sin no more. It is liberation, not a warning. Share what you already know, just like Apollos. Maybe you don't know the whole Bible. Maybe you don't know half the Bible. Maybe you only have one verse memorized. Quote it when you get a chance to some others. Hey, I've been memorizing my Bible. Don't want to hear it. No, let me practice. Okay, go ahead. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him, just like a guy like you, should not perish but have everlasting life. I threw in the just like a guy like you. Now you just shared with somebody, and that's what you know. Now if you memorize another verse, you can say, and people would listen, and so Jesus wept. There's another verse. Got two verses memorized. I beg you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet it's not me, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Tell people. Memorize the Scripture and then let them help you to practice what you know. Share with them what you know. Don't be offensive. Don't be gross. Share with them what you know. You may not know a lot, but you know so much. Because many are out there blind and you can see. Tell them what you see. Just tell them what you see. And then God will make sure that you're taught and you grow, just as Apollos did, and that you're used even more powerfully and more powerfully. Trust Him. Love Him. Know that you're free in Jesus Christ. Free now to obey. Let's bow our heads as we close today.